Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Seeds of Transformation podcast with your host, Dr. Alma Johnson. Many of you may know that today is launch day. Yes, Exodus to Unity, bridging the gap between the traditional Christians and millennials is now available. To pick up your copy, just go to www.dralma.com. That's www.dralma.com and get your copy today. For the first 250 books sold, you will receive a signed copy and a bookmark just by going to my website and making your purchase there only. Listen, today I have a special guest. Miss Monica Barnes and I had the opportunity to sit back and chat a bit about bridging the gap with grace, differences, and encouragement. If you know anything about Monica, you know this is her thing, y'all, encouragement. So today we are celebrating the transformative power of grace in uniting our hearts and embracing our diversity. Let's begin. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at the Seeds of Transformation podcast. I have a special guest with me. Many of you have seen her on IG and her other platforms on Facebook, but we have her today live, y'all. Monica Barnes, would you introduce yourself to the people?
Hello, everyone. I am so excited to be here today. As Ms. Alma has stated, I do the Monday fill-ups on Instagram. Every Monday, we go live. I am a motivational speaker. I am a preacher. And most of all, my best description is I am a lover of Jesus.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. And congratulations again on your ordination and receiving that. I'm so excited for you. So she is ordained now, y'all. I mean, yes. A real deal. I'm just so excited for everything that God is doing in your life, your podcast that's new. And I said, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is just amazing. So I'm just so grateful for you being with us here today. And also, once again, for the things that God is doing in your life. So today we're going to be discussing something. Many of you know that I have written a book. It's going to be released soon. And it's titled Exodus to Unity, Bridging the Gap Between the Traditional Christians and Millennials. So today, Monica, being the encourager that she is, we're going to be talking about grace, encouragement, and a few other things here. So this is something I believe everybody needs to lean in on, especially coming united millennials, even those younger and traditional Christians. I would say myself, Monica, you know, we're like a little on that traditional Christian side.
Yeah. But
just that our eyes would be open, that we would not forget grace that still follows us all the days of our lives, along with mercy. So we'll jump right into our conversation, Monica. With grace and mercy, with grace specifically, how can we help everyone, both the traditional Christians and millennials, understand grace?
I love that question. I think that, and I thought about it, and it just gave me the most practical, the thing that made the most practical sense is by being a living example of what grace is. That is how we can help somebody else understand God's grace. It is undeserved. And we come across paths of people so many times, or even in our own life situations, where we have to give back that grace that is so undeserved. And so I think the best way that we can help other people understand that is by being a living example of what God's grace is. It is a gift to us. It is free for us. But at the end of the day, it is something that we don't deserve. And so if I'm going to be that example, I have to treat people in a way that whatever they do to me, if they hurt me, or if I'm disappointed by them, I still have to give them this love of Christ, this joy, this kindness that may not be deserved. And I think with how your question, how we're trying to bridge these gaps from traditionals to millennials, I am a millennial by definition, but
okay.
by definition, but I think according to, you know, where you're looking it up, I may be off, you know, a couple of years. However, I think with the millennial generation, sometimes we have this entitlement, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that grace goes beyond this entitlement. And so helping them to understand, helping us to understand rather, that I have to let go of this entitlement of what I think I deserve, and get what I don't deserve, if that makes sense. Way that I can explain that is being a living example of what that is.
Wow. Being a living example. Once again, we're talking about grace, encouragement, and differences. I speak about having that sense of entitlement for the millennials in my book, but millennials are not the only ones that have that sense of entitlement. Traditional Christians too. Look at the spectrum, the fullness of things. You know, they have a certain feeling that I'm entitled to this and to do that and to sit here and to go there. Same thing with millennials. So it's between us both. You know, it's there, definitely there. No one can deny it. But I love that of being a living example. What other better way is there to do? But in saying that, do you think that there is anything or any new ways, I should say, that we can talk about grace to bring traditional Christians and millennials closer together, going beyond our differences, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, because I think traditionally we've always talked about grace, like what we just explained, right? Mm-hmm. Grace is something that is undeserved. But I think a newer way that we can talk about grace is by digging deeper into God's word and understanding that grace is also power. The word grace, how Paul described it and how he used it, refers to God's character and trait and disposition and his inclination to treat people better, better than what we deserve. But the word grace also refers to the action, the power, the influence, and the force behind what God is doing, which produces these real practical incomes, outcomes in our lives. His grace is so sufficient that it allows me to do things that I couldn't normally do in my own strength. And that's why when Paul says, I have this thorn in my side, but God's grace is sufficient. So not just understanding that God's grace is undeserved, but his grace is power. And when we can bridge those two things together and help the next generation, and it goes beyond our two generations, right? It goes beyond that, but reaching back to the next, like, God's grace is not only what you don't deserve, but it gives you the power to do what you don't deserve to do. Let's be honest. Ooh. Because I in my own way am a wretch undone. I don't deserve God's grace to do what he's called me to do, but because he loves me, but because he loves the people that are called to me, he allows me to step into this position of grace and be used by him. And so not only understanding that, yes, it is something that I don't deserve, but it is also God's power that this grace that lives in me that allows me to do the things that I can do. So I think that is because so often I think we understand grace in churches is something that we get brand new every day. Mm. But I think about Paul and I think about how he says that, and that's another one. It goes back to that entitlement, right? That I think that I just want God to take this away because I'm a Christian. Like, God, you can take this away. Like, I choose to live for you, so just take it away. But Paul reminds us that even with it, his grace is sufficient. But in order to receive that grace, we got to tap into it. And we have to be vulnerable enough and empty enough and weak enough to say, God, I am made strong in your grace. I come to you boldly. I think there's a scripture in Hebrews that talks about coming to the throne of grace. And so we have to get to this place, I think, where we understand the fullness of God's grace and not just leaning on our own understanding of what we heard when we were growing up in church, but really understanding how God's grace can really drive us to do things that he's called us to do.
Amen. I was just looking that up. Hebrews 4:6 is what she's speaking to. It says, let us therefore come boldly. Mm-hmm. Isn't this just something in being able to come boldly to the throne of grace, to the throne of power?
Yes.
Stating that we may obtain mercy, that in this power that God is in his grace, we're going to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Yes.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Well, I don't know if you're driving right now. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm refilled. I feel like this is another Monday fill up today. This for me is, it is a Monday fill up. If you have not connected with Monica on IG or her other platforms, I'm going to be sure you'll see them listed below, but please get connected, especially for the Monday fill up. That's one of my favorites. As far as she is on other platforms, she'll share her podcast that she has coming up here soon. But another question for you, Monica, unity, Apostle Paul the whole Bible is about becoming united. Unity, my studies, is a form of warfare. It is a weapon in warfare. Where there are two or three gathered in my name, Jesus is in the midst. Unity, that we need to stay together and stay connected. So with me saying this, what are the ways that we can bridge and come together, bridge this gap, coming together so that everyone, no matter the age, can feel connected?
Yeah, that's good. And I love how you define that unity as being like the spiritual warfare, because that's what the enemy hates, right? He hates that. And I think the more that we empower people, the more connected they will feel, the more useful and purposeful they will feel, right? And so I was listening to a podcast. I love to listen to Crystal Evans Hurst, and she had Jada Edwards on.
Okay.
And talking about how at their church, Jada Edwards, that they do this mentorship program where they include everybody. And so it goes all the way down to the elementary level, all the way up into the season level of adults, right? Mm-hmm. And so every person in their church is connected to this mentorship program. Mm-hmm. So where you have where the elementary students are speaking into the kinder students, the middle school students are speaking into the elementary, the high school is speaking, and then it just goes on to where the young adults are speaking into those middle schoolers, and then the women of the church are speaking into those high school. So it is a way of empowering them and also making them feel connected and useful. And again, I think the more that we can do this, it's almost just like going into it's like a storytelling, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, the telling of grace, the telling of how God used me, how I am not perfect in my own way, but God's grace has allowed me to be here to pour back into you, right? And so that's the best way that I can define that. And when I heard that, I thought, that's so beautiful. That is how we can bridge things together, bridge communities, bridge generations together, is through this mentorship, by being vulnerable enough, open enough, willing enough to pour back into the next generation, to pour into what is coming behind you. And it's speaking life into that.
Yes, that absolutely. I love that. And I love what they're doing in the church, that the next is pouring into the next, pouring life and strength and the next. God always speaks about the next to come. And if we look at it right now, millennials are raising the next generation. That, like you just said, and like they're doing in their church, the next generation will be raising the next generation. So this is, that's powerful. I love that, and how it will bridge the gap and keep them connected. Because a lot of times I feel that, and I love the seniors, you know, the season and things, you know, what different churches call their groups, the youth group, but we still need to come together.
Yes.
And remain together as one. There's power in our unity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Monica. and the next thing I wanted to jump into, this is definitely on your level of encouragement, is how do we encourage leaders? I know you recently had a leadership conference that you were a part of at New Antioch here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I hate I missed that. But how do we encourage leaders from both the old and young perspectives to work together in creating a story of grace? You kind of touched on this a little bit, but in creating a story of grace that unites rather than separate. The enemy wants us to separate. He's not for the family. He hates the family. For our generations in the Christian community wise now.
When I think of that word story, it automatically took me to Joshua 4, 5 through 7.
Okay, get your Bibles out, y'all. And Joshua what?
Get your Bibles out. Joshua 4, chapter 4, 5 through 7. And I'm reading it, and I have it here in my notes. I'm reading it from the NLT version. And it says, he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord, your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? You can tell them they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. This is simply a story of how God's grace carried one generation over, and God commanded them and reminded them, build a memorial so that your children can look back and you can tell them the story of God's grace. I love when I read that, I said, that's perfect.
Yes.
That is how we encourage both leaders in the old, is by continuing to tell the story of God's grace. It is so important that when we get into this position of leadership, that we don't shun our mouths to be quiet, to talk about the things that we've done, because the generation that is coming behind us, they need to know. They need to know the mistakes. They need to know how to overcome. They need to know what God has done, so that when they're in those seasons, they're not looking lost, can't figure out how do I get through this, or feeling ashamed, that the enemy wants them to feel shame and guilt, but they can look back and say, no, I don't feel shame and guilt because my grandmother went through that. I remember the elder in my church told me that they went through that. So I don't have to feel this game or guilt that the enemy wants me to have, because I know the story of my ancestors. I know the story of God's grace. I understand the story of how he brought Monica out.
Yes.
How he brought her out of her sin. And so he can do the same thing for me. So telling the story of God's grace is the best way for us to encourage somebody else and unite us rather than separate us. Because I can just remember, Alma, when I was growing up, it was always just, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have sex out of wedlock. It was never an understanding of why or being spoken life into. It was just, you don't do that, right? And all of the time.
Now you have said a whole word right there. My gosh, I'm sorry. Keep going, Monica. Flow.
And all of the time, they were probably doing that.
Yes.
And so never really taking the time to say, baby, let me tell you why you don't. Let me tell you how God's grace covered me in that season. I have been able to mentor young girls, not by living in this lie of I'm perfect and I never needed God's grace, but by coming boldly and saying, baby girl, let me tell you why you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I lived that life. And because of God's grace and his mercy, he carried me through those seasons where sin wanted to pull me down. He carried me through those seasons where the enemy wanted to make sure that I was dead. He carried me through God's grace. So that's why. So instead of living this life of perfection, and I'm not going to tell them what I did. No, I'm going to tell you everything that I did, because the enemy wants you to go down that same path. But if I can tell you my story of grace, my God, I feel that. Oh, if I can just tell you my story, if you can just see my stones of how God brought me out, it can help you. So we have to share the story of God's grace. And we have to remember, grace is not this pretty, dainty thing how the world describes it, but grace is strong. Grace can be ugly, because sometimes God has to go into the ugliest of things, into the mud, into the thick of things, into the dirt to pull us out by his grace. So grace is not always going to be beautiful. Grace is not always going to be something you can just package up in a pretty box and say, here you go. No, grace can sometimes be downright ugly. But we have to be willing to share those stories, no matter how ugly it is.
Yes.
And stop trying to wrap it in a pretty box.
Yes. Amen. I heard so much in that. I heard Revelation 12 and 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. I heard Jonathan encouraging David,
David
encouraging himself in the Lord. I heard speak the truth. I heard Isaiah 51:16. I have put these words in your mouth. You know, speak the truth, share your story. Tell it so tell that it. The next will not stumble and fall. There's no need for us to stumble and fall. Like you said before, if you had understood greater in depth the why, you should not, I should not. I was right there too. Understood greater the why, if it was just the layers were pulled apart, that was so good of the why. You know, oh my gosh. And then sharing grace to build communities.
Yes. That
was simply awesome. Monica, I'm going to ask that you close us out in prayer. I really don't want to leave. I know we got to go. Oh my goodness, Jesus.
We got to go part two.
Oh my goodness. I'm praying that you will come back. I know the Lord is moving. If you wouldn't mind sharing about your podcast that just got started. I'm so excited for you. And anything else, any last words before you close us out in prayer?
Yes. So I'll talk about the podcast. So the podcast is In the Garden with Monica Barnes, and it can be found on Apple, Spotify. And it's just simply a weekly conversation of inviting people to live their lives in full bloom. We know that sometimes in our seasons, there will be seasons where we are blooming. Everything looks good, right? If I look over into her garden, it looks beautiful. Like, you know, she's in full springtime mode. But then there's other seasons where we are going through seasons where it's changing, right? Or it can be a season where we need to prune something. So that's where the theme In the Garden came from. And it's just practical conversation on how to daily fall in love with Jesus and have practical ways on how to overcome. Even in the good times, right? Because still in the good times, there are still things that we have to go through. And so join me there. We have a new episode every Wednesday. So I'm just excited about what God is doing. I do the Monday fill up every Monday on Instagram Live. And the times vary, y'all, but in more so in between the time of 12 and 12:30, you can catch me there, but you can always go back and catch the replay. And that is just the time where we need to just get filled up on God's word. I love God's word.
Okay.
So Where we do that, but you can follow me there and join me on the podcast. And what I want to leave the people with is just really understanding the different dynamics of God's grace.
Yes.
And I feel like when we truly understand that, we'll be able to extend that.
Yes.
Because you will never be able to extend what you don't fully understand. And really fully understanding God's grace. And that last part that we talked about, such a beautiful question, Alma, is how do we let the put the other generations in unity and in our communities is by telling your story of grace.
That's it.
Tell it, because it is definitely going to help somebody out. That is what I want to leave the people with. Tell your story of grace.
Amen. Get into grace, y'all. She said, you cannot extend what you don't understand.
Yes.
You really understand grace and what you have. We ain't even talked about the mercy. Grace and mercy follows us all the days of our life.
Yes.
I believe we would both be laid out in the floor somewhere right now if we got into mercy, but we're just talking about grace. Thank you, Jesus. Monica, thank you so much for joining us here at the Seeds of Transformation podcast. You have definitely sown a seed of transformation for us all. But before we go, y'all, Monica, please close us out in prayer.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God. We thank you for this time on today, oh God. Dear God, we lift up your name. You are so worthy of all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, dear God. We pray that every listener, dear God, that has heard this word about your grace, your transforming grace, dear God, let it take seed, dear God, into their hearts, dear God, and let it transform in their lives in such a way that they will be able to not only just extend your grace, dear God, but they will be able to tell your story of grace, that they may be a help to somebody else, dear God. We pray that this podcast will be blessed, dear God, that it will fall into the hearts, into the ears of the people that you meant it for specifically. I pray that Alma be blessed in her continued work, dear God, in this season, dear God, and that you continue to do amazing things in her life, dear God. It is in your son Jesus' name we pray, and we say thank God and amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us once again here at the Seeds of Transformation podcast. We look forward to seeing and speaking with you again soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. My goodness. Talk about an encouraging word. Yes, today we have all received. Listen, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Seeds of Transformation podcast with your host, Dr. Alma Johnson. And don't forget, head on over to my website and pick up a copy of my new book that released today. Yes, Exodus to Unity, Bridging the Gap Between the Traditional Christians and Millennials. Only with purchases from my website will you receive a signed copy and a free bookmark. So head on over to www.dralma.com. That's www.dralma.com. Listen, thank you again. I look forward to speaking with you real soon. And remember, keep growing in all things of God.